Hey ladies, it's just Emily again, and I am wanting to talk to you today about John 1 verses 35 through 37, just a couple of verses. Last week, we talked all about the first 34 verses of the first chapter of John, but as I was looking at the next couple of verses, I don't know, a whole lot came out for me. So when I read the Bible, I try to really put myself in the picture. What would those people feel like? I think it's easy to forget that they are actual people with actual feelings and that all of this really went down. It's not just made up. So as I was reading, we remember last week, John the Baptist was pointing people to Jesus. He didn't really even have the full story. It says around verse 29 and verse 33, he didn't even exactly know who he was telling people was coming. He just knew that God told him to say that, so he did it. So we ultimately don't have to have the entire story to be obedient. I think that's a great thing to take away from that. But let's read John chapter 1, verses 35. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this. These are John the Baptist's disciples. And then they followed Jesus. So that's it. That's all we're going to talk about today. The first verse says, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walked by him. I just feel like if I had been in the wilderness wearing camel hair, eating locusts, I don't know. I'm obviously not saying that Jesus did anything wrong, but it kind of feels like maybe like a greeting, maybe like a, hey, you just did an amazing job. You were the MVP of this ministry launch. You declared to all the people and people think you're like really kind of out there. And you didn't mind if you looked weird on behalf of me. You really nailed it, John the Baptist. Way to go. But he doesn't say that. He just kind of walks by him in our fallen, sinful, selfish way selves. We want to do the nice things and we want to look like we're serving, but sometimes when we're treated like servants or not acknowledged, something inside us is uncomfortable. That selfishness inside of me is like, well, hold it. Like, what? Where is John's plaque? Where's his special handshake? Or does he get to like go out to dinner? Or like, what does John get for this? But as we see, he doesn't get really that we can see at this point anything. But John the Baptist continues and faithfully points people to Jesus. And the result of that, number one, was that he lost his kind of entourage. His tribe heads over to follow Jesus. So as soon as he points him out, then John the Baptist is standing there by himself because they leave. And if you think about this from like a business standpoint, it's like we make people sign non-compete agreements so that somebody will not leave and then go directly to a competitor and do the same thing. And so obviously John the Baptist was not competing with Jesus. But if we kind of apply this to our own lives, it doesn't feel good when people who are with us are all of a sudden not with us. Even if you're doing the faithful thing, all of a sudden you're by yourself. That's kind of a super junky feeling. And it doesn't feel good when somebody takes something that feels like it was ours, you know? Not that John the Baptist was trying to build his own kingdom or anything like that. Like, none of that is supposed in this text at all. I'm just saying, like, in our own lives, we can apply that and it doesn't feel that great. But then when I thought of this other thing, it even hit harder. Not only had John continued to faithfully point to Jesus and he lost, like, his people who were following him, he was not chosen to be one of Jesus's disciples. Jesus walked by John. He didn't choose John, but he did choose John's disciples. So if you think about that, like, John was overlooked for arguably a pretty significant promotion to be the disciple of God's son, to be discipled by the savior of the world. It's kind of pretty awesome. I mean, also very hard and scary, and they all died for it, but he wasn't chosen for that. And that would have felt really quite bad. And then to add insult to injury, your followers are chosen. So it wasn't just that he was like the last one picked for the team. He was not picked for the team. And then to make matters worse, we really don't hear about John much again until we hear that he was beheaded. So it's a little anticlimactic. It's not the way that we would like things to go. The math doesn't seem to add up for someone who faithfully served God. So I think the applications, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of ways that we can struggle well when these types of things happen in our own lives. I wanted to just make a couple points. So the first one, in the very first sentence, verse 35, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. And again, he faithfully pointed to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can be gracious and kind and I can endure for like a solid 3 minutes. But then that fourth minute, things go a little sideways. I think I can do good for like a day with being really kind in my responses to my kids or whatever. But the next day, if the same thing happens, I'm over it. We already did this yesterday. I dealt with this and I'm ready to not deal with it today. But verse 35, the next day, again, John was still faithfully doing what he was doing the day before. And so I think just a picture of endurance. And if we run out of endurance, that's how we know that we were relying on ourselves, because we don't have that much endurance. We aren't that strong. I know I'm dealing with a situation with one of my children that is, it's just emotionally exhausting for me, and it happens almost every day. And so it's very hard to go back and do everything I already did yesterday again. It feels like, you know how theoretically, like doing a plank or holding a squat against the wall, that does not feel like it should be as hard as it actually is. But when you hold it for any amount of time, it is exhausting and things are burning. And you just think, oh my gosh, it's so hard to think about anything else but the pain of it. And we are asked to die to ourselves daily. And it's painful. Death is painful. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. I know I'm taking ground in an area when I'm really uncomfortable, but I know I'm doing the right thing. And if you've taken ground in an area and then you're coming back and you feel like you're just kind of doing the same thing all over again, there's just like another layer of growth. It's going to another level. It's going deeper. So don't be discouraged. You're building up your endurance and you're building up your strength and you're depending on the Lord. And it just is going to have to keep happening over and over. What my husband loves to say is that our struggles can only last a lifetime. And sometimes it feels like it is taking a lifetime just to grow a little bit, right? So the second thing I think we can apply, John was standing with his people, still pointing to them to Christ, and then they left. Ladies, we are going to lose some things that we thought were ours in this life. It doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. Sometimes God clearly was the one who removed them, and that doesn't feel good. But there's a whole different feeling when things are taken and it seems like people took them from us. So if it's from God, we understand James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The good thing is that God is always good, and he is always working for our ultimate good and for his glory. And so if something gets taken away, ultimately, it really wasn't ours. But we do know that he is good, and anything that we have, we got from him anyway. It feels harder when it seems like we can point to a person who took it. We know that Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if we love God, we are called according to his purpose. He will turn it all around. He is able to make opposite day happen. It's an upside down kingdom that he runs. So God can still sort it out. Genesis 50:20. If you remember Joseph, his brothers did a lot of bad stuff against him. They were jealous of him and they wanted him gone. And they won. They got him gone. But ultimately, he says in Genesis 50:20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And ultimately, a lot of people were saved because of what the brothers did to him. Only God, you know, can make that kind of stuff happen. Psalm 21:11 says, though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. Even when we lose things at the hands of other people, and it doesn't look fair and it seems like the worst, if we are battling on God's side, we're on the winning side. And the people who mean things to happen to you for evil are not going to succeed. So that's ultimately hope, even if it feels really junky at the moment. So we have to do things over and over again. The next day, John did the same thing over and over again. Die daily, trust in God's strength. Number two, we're going to lose some things that we thought were ours. Three, we're going to not be chosen sometimes. That doesn't feel good. Even if we know that, it doesn't feel good. John was not chosen to be one of the disciples. But Matthew 11:11, Jesus says this of John the Baptist. Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not chosen because God made a mistake, because God doesn't make mistakes, or because God was displeased with John. There's really not a higher compliment to be paid. Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist not being chosen to be one of Jesus's inner circle was not because God was disappointed with him, not because he wasn't ready, or not because God made a mistake. It's because God had different plans for John to carry out. And in our lives, when we are not chosen, it really feels junky, but we've got to trust that God does not make mistakes. And unless we are openly walking in disobedience and we don't care what God's word says or how it applies to us, or we just don't feel like we need to in any way submit to his authority, then you may not be chosen because your heart is not in the right place. But if to the best of your knowledge and ability, you're submitting to him and you're loving him and walking with him and pointing people to him and you're still not chosen, doesn't necessarily mean that it's because you've done anything wrong. He just has a different plan. And we've got to trust that he's always good. I was thinking about when in my life has that happened. It's happened a lot, but one of the times that I can talk about and laugh about now, but I invited a friend to church, which you're like supposed to do, right? It's the thing we're supposed to do. And I was always very involved in the music program and I got a lot of solos, and I invited this friend to church and she started getting all the solos instead of me. I'm like, what? This is a girl I just invited to church and all of a sudden she's kind of taken my place. I'm telling you what, junior high Emily did not handle that very well. And it happens still now. There's always something that you're going to not be chosen for. There's regularly opportunities that I would like, and some of them I get and some of them I don't. Does not mean I did anything wrong. Does not mean that God's displeased. So sometimes we're not going to be chosen. The fourth point I wanted to make is that the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. The first will be last. The least will become the greatest. We need to come to God like a little child. It just does not make sense. And so when we try to apply our logic to God's kingdom, it's just not going to work. But really, if you stop and think about it, do you want to be able to understand God? I don't want to be able to understand God. I know that I'm not that smart. So if I could understand God, that'd mean he's not that smart either. So it's an upside down kingdom. And then the last point I wanted to make was something that John the Baptist says a couple chapters in the future in John 3, verse 30. He's talking about how at a wedding, the groomsmen are so happy when they can hear the bridegroom's voice. So when we're close to Jesus and we're walking with him and we're listening and we hear his voice, John says that's what makes his joy complete. Not accolades or position or titles or opportunities, but hearing God's voice. And in John 3:30, John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. So when we're shunned and ignored, when we're left behind and overlooked, when we're mistreated by somebody, it's an opportunity to let God increase in us and let ourselves decrease. Let me pray for us. Lord, we are fine when things like this happen to people like John the Baptist. And we think, oh, he's so great and I would do the same thing. But Lord, when it happens in our lives, we don't feel like doing the same thing. We feel mad and we feel hurt and we hold on to it and we sometimes become bitter. Lord, would you press on a spot in our lives where this message needs to go so that we can go, oh yeah, I know what you're saying. God, help us to not be bitter. Help us to let go of our expectations. Help us to trust that you are working out all things together for good. Help us to know you are not displeased with us just because we didn't get picked. Help us not to believe the lies that we are somehow less than or not valuable because things aren't going according to our plans. God, your plans are so much higher than our plans. Thank you that you are smarter than us. Thank you that we are following the Almighty Creator who knows everything and can do anything. God, would you help us to decrease, please, because we're a mess. Would you please increase in us, in our marriages, in our mothering, in our work, in our relationships with other friends. May there be more of you, and may people see you in us and not our silly selves striving for the next achievement. In Jesus' name, amen.